returning to Exodus chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Exodus 4, 11 and 12. And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth, and teach you what you are to say." Last time, we began our look at this discourse between God and Moses in terms of how mankind always wants to tell God what we can and can't do. We do not seem to appreciate the fact that we are God's creation. It's not a matter of general creation, but very specific and individual creation. God did not just make man and then let him develop in the course of time. God created each one of us in a very personal and intimate detail. He knows exactly who we are and what each one of us will do in our lifetime. As Job relates in Job 23, 10 through 14, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him." This personal attention to each one of our lives is proclaimed by the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17:10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." This is further attested to by the writer to the Hebrews as detailed in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Nothing that we do or say is hidden from God. That fact shows that he cares for each one of us with an unending and intimate concern for our every manner of living on this earth. He knows our thoughts, he knows our words, he knows our actions, and he knows our motives. Nothing is beyond the scope of his personal consideration of how he created you and me. As our Heavenly Father, he does everything to bring us into the wonder of such a living and personal relationship with himself, to the point that, as with Moses, we can have those close conversations with him. Now, please don't get confused at this point. God physically spoke with the prophets and the patriarchs as detailed throughout Scripture. But as attested to in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, today God speaks to us in and by his Son. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. His voice is most often heard as the Holy Spirit speaks in our hearts and minds through His Word, either in our reading or by ministry, or as believers fellowship together in Jesus Christ. And let us not forget the manner of our spending time with Him in prayer as the Holy Spirit ministers according to our needs. Romans 8, 26 and 27. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. These are the most evident means by which we find ourselves in communion and in discourse with God in these days. That is not to say that God couldn't choose to verbally talk with us if that was His pleasure. Remember Balaam's donkey and the miraculous conversation that God evoked at that time. However, we do not put before God that type of challenge to His authority, nor do we diminish His ministering in our hearts through His Holy Spirit. More often than not, how we hear God is the Holy Spirit's quiet and still voice within us, which serves to show us the course of how to walk in His path of righteousness. Please know for a certainty that His Holy Spirit will never deviate from the truth of His recorded Word. Again, re-emphasizing this vital truth, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. This then brings us to the heart of this subject that God makes known to His people in the course of their walk on this earth. No matter how much we might argue with Him, He knows us, and He knows all that He will accomplish in the manner in which we serve Him. Despite our blindness to all that the Lord can do through us, He works effectively and He works efficiently to manifest Himself and His power and His wisdom and His presence with us through the every detail, large or small, that comes through our service unto Him. One of the first things that He accomplishes in us is that we are made to see what the reality of this life is. As He has created us, so does He open our eyes to what is really and actually true. Isaiah 32, 3 through 5. Then the eyes of those who see will not be blinded, and the ears of those who hear will listen. And the mind of the hasty will discern the truth, and the tongue of the stammerers will hasten to speak clearly. No longer will the fool be called noble, or the rogue be spoken of as generous. All the blinders of this age are removed by God as He shows us what is really real. The facades and the trickery and the falsehoods of the power of this age are shown for all the emptiness and death spiral that they are. Those who are lifted up by the minions of this realm are exposed as the bearers of falsehoods and lies. What this world promotes as good and as to be sought after is revealed to be but the dregs and refuse and offal that rots and decays in the direct and brilliant radiance of the Lord. Isaiah reiterates this wonderful working of God to open our eyes and our ears to the truth in Isaiah 35, 5 through 10. Please open your Bibles to it and follow along with me in this glorious declaration of the manifold working of God in His daily ministry in our lives. Isaiah 35, 5 through 10. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Arabah. And the scorched land will become a pool. And the thirsty ground, springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes. And a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Many people look at this as a promise that will be ours in heaven at the end of our days. We will clearly see this at that time in the brilliant manifestation of all the glory of God in Jesus Christ. However, it is also very true that the Lord is revealing this as the daily walk that we have in Him at this very moment in our lives. As we learn to listen and to obey, we will see that this very course of our lives is already in place. The redeemed of the Lord will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. And they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. What do we find when we take our eyes off of our circumstances, off of our situations, and look to Jesus Christ? We have everlasting joy. We have gladness We have that joyful shouting that wells up from within us that wants to declare His grace and His mercy and His beauty. It is ours now in Jesus Christ. As we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, all the wonder of what He does and how He does it becomes increasingly evident. All the manipulations of the corrupt and the lies of this realm are stripped away and exposed as but the feeble taunts of a powerless foe. In Jesus Christ, we daily walk in His holiness and in His righteousness. The trials and the tribulations and the dilemmas are put into their proper perspective as the working of God to cause us to grow in our faith and to acknowledge just how awesome and wonderful He truly is. As well, we are filled with joy and with gladness in the fact of our salvation and in the revealed omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence of God in all the fullness of His love for you and for me. Everlasting joy. All the sorrows of this age flee away in the light of His wonderful face and His embrace of peace and safety for all of eternity. Yes, Isaiah saw more than just the end of time. He saw the majesty and the brilliant glory of what it means to know and to appreciate the life that God has given us, especially this very instant on this earth. Listen to the prophet as he again declares with all clarity how God shows forth the blindness and the deafness of this age in juxtaposition to what He creates in Jesus Christ for all who will turn wholeheartedly to Him. Isaiah 42:18-21. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or so deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is so blind as he that is at peace with me, or so blind as the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you do not observe them. Your ears are open, but none hears. The Lord was pleased for His righteousness' sake to make the law great and glorious. This is the passage of such tremendous importance in the proclamation of the suffering servant, the Christ, who would take upon Himself our blindness and our deafness, and our sorrow, and our grief. He would endure our shame, and our deserved sin-defiled death. He had come to suffer and to die in order that our eyes and our ears could be made whole in the righteous healing power of His resurrection life. without that very basis of our healing by the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God, we will never be able to see or to hear all that the Lord God Almighty has already done and will do in our lives. Again, read and hear the words of the prophet as he asserts the abuse and the anguish and the misery and the distress that Christ would willingly take upon himself for such as you and me. He knew exactly what each one of us would add in our sinful nature to the course of his violent and unjustified defilement at the hands of those he came to save. Yet in all willingness, with eyes wide open, he chose to endure it all so that we could become those beloved children of God who would want to serve him no matter what the cost in our lives. Please turn to Isaiah 50, 4 through 9, and follow along in abject humbleness as the prophet describes what we have wrought upon the spotless and perfect Lamb of God. Isaiah 50, 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting, for the Lord God helps me. Therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. Just as Christ looked to the Father to get him through all the earthly suffering without despair and without shame and without doubt, so are we to follow him in our service unto God. No, we're not perfect as was Christ in his service. Yet we do have the very Spirit of God to guide and to keep us as he led and sustained Jesus. We have the Word of God to make manifest in great detail the manner of our service before God and before man. We also have the knowledge that God goes before us as we obey. Again, we find great comfort in the testimony of Isaiah as he encourages us in the course in which God will deal so lovingly and so fully with us. Isaiah 57, 18 and 19. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of the lips. Peace Peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. And I will heal him. In Christ, we are given healing and direction and comfort and restoration and peace. We are taught what it means to praise and to honor the Lord, who is our peace now and forevermore. All of this comes by the creative hand of God in operation in our lives to bring us into the living relationship that He has always desired with us. All finds its way and means and fullness in the life of service unto which we are called as those who are the redeemed of the Lord by the blood of Jesus Christ. Next week, Lord willing, we will begin to look through the New Testament in regard to the daily work of God to make our eyes see and our ears hear Him as He leads and keeps us on the wonderful path of service unto which we are called. So be it. And the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Amen.